Amen. Turn in your Bibles, please, to the scripture lesson that was read from Luke chapter 15. Brother Davis read for us verses 25 through 32. Luke 15, 25 through 32. This is a passage that is quite familiar to most students of the Bible. Jesus, in Luke chapter 15, tells three parables. He tells the parable of the lost sheep. He tells the parable of the lost corns. And then he tells the parable of the lost boys or the lost sons. What prompted Jesus to tell these parables is revealed in the first two verses of Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, look at verses 1 and 2. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. You know, it's always a good thing when sinners are interested in hearing Jesus. You remember on the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus was there transfigured before his select group of disciples, Peter, James, and John, and there appeared unto him Moses and Elias talking with him. Peter was thrilled by the sheer ecstasy of the experience, and he articulated his joy and excitement by saying, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. Let us therefore build three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias." And while Peter was still in the process of making his motion, he was divinely overruled. The Bible says a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of that cloud which said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Always we should evidence a disposition and an attitude of wanting to hear what Jesus has to say. God himself said, "Hear ye him." And it's interesting, we don't often mention it, but it's interesting that these publicans, these tax gatherers, tax collectors that were despised by the Jews, and they were usually classed with sinners. Hence, the Bible says, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him." And I'm glad that those publicans, the tax gatherers, and that the sinners were interested in hearing what Jesus had to say. But it's disturbing and somewhat discombobulating to know that there were those who did not want Jesus to associate himself with publicans and sinners. The Bible says, and the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Jesus was dispatched to earth from glory for the purpose of saving sinners. Sinners constituted a vital part of his mission. Even when the angel spoke to Joseph in Matthew 1:21, he said, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Jesus spoke in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus loved sinners. Jesus died for sinners. Jesus redeemed sinners. Jesus shed his blood for sinners and was vitally interested in their spiritual welfare and their ultimate salvation. So the Pharisees and scribes got things wrong. The publicans and sinners who were interested in hearing Jesus got things right. When we focus on this parable, and of course verse 3 says, and he spake this parable unto them, and he gives the first parable of the lost sheep. And he emphasizes in verse number 7, and I want you to become consciously aware of the significance of verse 7. Jesus says, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth than over 99 just persons which needs no repentance. Next, Jesus tells the parable of the lost coin. The woman had 10 pieces of silver. She lost one, but she was very concerned and solicitous about finding the lost coin. A good friend of mine, just a day or two ago, lost a prized treasure and was quite disturbed that it had been lost. Fortunately, like the lady who lost the coin, she was enabled to find that which was lost and rejoiced when she recovered her lost property. The Bible says that when this lady who lost her coin, when she had found it, verse number 9, she called her friends and neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Now, the third parable. A certain man, a loving, compassionate, sensitive, caring forgiving father had two sons. Now, this parable has been traditionally referred to as the parable of the prodigal son. And of course, it's referred to as the parable of the prodigal son because the son demanded his share of his father's estate prematurely, and his father gave it to him. And then it wasn't long before the son took a journey into a far country. And there in the far country, he wasted his substance in riotous living. He dissipated his resources. And when there was a depletion of his dollars, he found himself seriously impoverished. He left home as a possessor. He soon became, in the far country, a prodigal. And shortly thereafter, he became a pauper in the pig pen. Then he became a penitent, decided to go back home to his father. And his father received him with open and welcoming arms and forgave him. And so he became the pardoned. He had been forgiven by God. We think about the lost boy, that youngest son. But really, when Jesus told the parable, he really was focusing on the elder brother, because the elder brother in the parable is analogous to the scribes and Pharisees who murmured when Jesus associated himself with and received publicans and sinners. So in reality, the focus is really on the elder brother, because the Pharisees and scribes were illustrated in the elder brother. But in reality, you had two sons that were lost. The prodigal was lost, and the father mentions that unequivocally, very clearly. He emphasizes, "This, my son, your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found." So there's no doubt that he was lost, that he was dead, separated from his father, separated by his transgressions. But the boy came home to his father, and his father welcomed him back and forgave him. And we often focus most of our attention, and it is an arresting and captivating story when we focus on the prodigal son. But we need to look at the other son. We need to look at the elder brother, because in the parable, he's being compared to the Pharisees and scribes are being compared to him, and they should have been able to see themselves reflected in his attitude. And so the Bible says, verse number 25, "Now his eldest son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard the music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and said, 'What's going on? Ask what these things meant.' And he said unto him, 'Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid or even a goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. Remember, with reference to the lost sheep, the shepherd, when he found the lost sheep, was rejoiced and was happy. He made merry. He was glad. Similarly, the woman who found the lost coin, she called her friends together. Said, y'all celebrate with me. I found that which I lost. So she made merry, and she was glad. And in each case, the Bible says that there is joy in heaven in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. The Bible says in verse 32 with reference to the returned son who was accepted back and received safe and sound, it was appropriate, a suitable meat that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. The Pharisees and scribes should have been happy that the publicans and sinners were interested in hearing what Jesus had to say. Just like the prodigal son's brother, the elder brother should have rejoiced. He should have been delighted to welcome his brother back, but he was not. The younger brother traveled to the far country and became lost. The elder brother stayed home, and he went away from home without ever leaving the house. The elder brother went away from home without ever leaving the house. The elder brother was just as lost as the younger brother. The elder brother also, in a sense, traveled to a far country, although he remained at home. How did he go away from home without ever leaving the house? And there are some rich lessons here for us, but I want to share just a few ways by which the elder brother went away from home and became lost at home without ever leaving the house. He went away from home because he went away from his father's values. He went away from his father's character. How did he go away from his father's values, and how did he go away from his father's character? How did he distance himself from his father and fail to identify himself with his father? He went away from his father's values and his father's character because he went away from his father's love. And he went away from his father's spirit of forgiveness. The father forgave the younger son. The elder brother refused to forgive. The father demonstrated his love for his youngest son and received him back as if he had never gone away. Forgave him of his transgressions, forgave him of his sins, and welcomed him back But the elder brother did not. He refused to forgive. He demonstrated a spirit of envy. He demonstrated a spirit of self-righteousness. He demonstrated a spirit of haughtiness. And all of these things caused him to distance himself from his father and to leave the basic teachings and the basic values that his father exemplified. In that way, he went away from home without ever leaving the house. The same thing can happen to us. We can end up leaving the Lord and being lost even as we assemble and even as we come to Bible study. When we have an unforgiving spirit, a self-righteous spirit, an envious spirit, a haughty spirit, in reality, we go away from home without ever leaving the church house, without ever leaving the body, without ever leaving the assembly. It's possible to come to church every time the doors open, to wear our finest attire. It is possible for us to give the right answers in Bible classes. It is possible for us to lift up our voices in praise inside the worship assembly and yet be lost, like the elder brother was lost, even though he stayed home. He said, all these many years, I have slaved, I have served, and never transgressed I your commandments at any time. And you never even so much as killed a goat for me. But now this thy son, he disavows his relationship to his younger brother. He's this thy son, he's gone off and devoured your living with prostitutes. And he's come back and you making all this fuss over him. You have killed for him the fatted calf, but you never even so much as killed a goat for me to have a party with my friends. The father says, son, you don't understand. You're always with me. Everything I have is yours. But this your brother, he was lost, is found. He was dead, but he is alive. We need to rejoice and encourage people when they come back to the Lord. And we need to always manifest a spirit of forgiveness, a spirit of love toward our brothers and sisters. When they sin, when they lapse into unfaithfulness, when they come back, welcome them back with open arms and always demonstrate the spirit exemplified by the Father and indeed the spirit that is demonstrated perpetually by God, our Heavenly Father, always loving, always forgiving, always compassionate, always caring. Don't be lost at home. Don't go away from home without ever leaving the house. If you're here and you maybe have left home in behavior, left home in spirit, left home in attitude. Perhaps you've demonstrated a spirit of haughtiness, a spirit of pride, a spirit of self-righteousness. Come back home. Repent of whatever sins you might be guilty of. Acknowledge them, and we'll pray with you and for you that you might be healed and forgiven of them. If you are here and need to respond, we encourage you to do it right now as we together stand and as we sing.
There's a fountain free, 'tis for you and me. Let us haste, oh haste to the brink. It is a fount of love from the source above, and he bids us all.